Daflamet test. We're earlier of the sugya of Yarden Lenichsei Shavuos. We brought a machlekes, machlekes Amoraim. We said it was a machlekes Tanoim, and we came out basically so far that there are three situations. We have what we call a Shavui. We have what the Gemara called Nitushin, and we have the Gemara called Ritushin. Those are the three types that we called. So Shavui meant that it would be a case of Shamaboy Shames, someone was captured by the Goyim, and we assume, for whatever reason, that he's dead. We heard that he's dead. There's rumors that Heidechot Tosu says even good enough. So once we know he's dead, then we allow his next of kin to go into his field, and they're allowed to stay there. And the Gemara was very clear that even if it turns out he's alive, Kolzman, he hasn't actually come back, they can continue taking take crops from the field. Even if they hear he's coming back, they can harvest the last crop. If he comes back before the last crop is harvested, what happens to those crops? Hold on, the Gemara, we'll talk about that. Then we talked about another case of Ritushin. So Ritushin, we said, is talking about where someone leaves on their own, not because they were captured by the Goyim, they just leave, and they don't leave instructions on what to do. There it's very clear, we said, that you cannot go into the person's field, the person does not let you into their field, and it's also to do. If you do, we kick you out. The case where we had Ramachlaikis is what we called Nitushin, which was someone who was captured by the Goyim, but Loi Shamu Bai Shemes. So what do we do in that case of Loi Shamu Bai Shemes? So in that case, we said we had a machloikis of what the halach is. Tanakama said we kick him out. Moshe Gamliel said that shamati, that nitushin is kishvuyin. That just like a shavui, someone by shemes, we allow the person to stay in the field. Pashup Shav, Moshe Gamliel said that by nitushin we would do the same thing. Says the Gemara on top. Now, three lines down on Lamed Tes. Tana, we had a braisa that said, v'kulon kulam shaman lehen ke'oris. That some part of this halach over here, when we take the crops away from the person who's working on the field, we, however, allow him to maintain the normal sharecropper price. A sharecropper you bring into your field to work. So the halacha is that there's an agreed upon amount that the person will get from the profits of the field, 25, 30%, 35%, whatever the negotiated normal rate is. When a person works in a field, that's what he gets. It says the braisa, in this case where someone is yorid, lenikse shavui, he's going to at least get that amount. On which case are we talking about? It says, which case are we discussing? Ilema ashavuyin, if we're going on the case of Shavui, where we said it's going to be Shamavoy Shemes, Shashter Zarz Veniskaravi. What do you mean he gets like an Oris? We said he takes it all. He can harvest everything down. So, Ma Dashvech Mi Boy? So then there would be no Chiddish whatsoever to telling you that. For sure he gets it. That was if he gets an opportunity to harvest the last crops, then for sure, if it happens to be the owner comes back before he harvests the last crops, of course he's at least going to get as an Oris. That even would not even be a Chiddish. Okay, Ela'a Ritushin. Maybe it's going on the case of Ritushin, where we said that you're not allowed to go into the field at all. Ritushin was the person who left on his own free will. So we take it away. Take it away does not sound like that we let you keep the amount of field that an Oros would keep. Okay, so Ela'a Nitushin. Maybe it's going on the middle case of a Shavui that's Loi Shamavoy Shemes. So Lamad, we head over there, Machloikis. The Rabbanan said, even in that case, it's Metzina Mesami Yadai, you're not allowed to be there, and if you're not allowed to be there, of course, you don't get even a partial amount of the crops. And here, Rishon Gamliel, Ramisha Meshamati, Shanatushin Kishvuyin. Rishon Gamliel said that the Nitushin of the same halacha of Shvuyin, just like by Shvuyin, we said he gets the whole field up until whatever he harvests. So Nitushin also would have that same halacha. And of course, maybe if the owner comes back, then he would get Ka'aris, but it wouldn't be a specific halacha that we need to bother with. Says the Mano. Rishon Gamliel, when he said Shvuyin kin Nitushin Kishvuyin, it wasn't exact. So the Mano, Kishvuyin v'loy Kishvuyin. It's like a Shavuy, but not exactly the same. Kishvuyin, Damon Tzayin Mesyadim. Just like Shamavai Shemes, we let the Karev stay in the field. So also, if it's Loi Shamavai Shemes, Rishon Gamliel, we let the person stay in the field and work the fields. But v'loy Shvuyin. But it's not exactly like Shvuyin. Dilu Asam Zarz V'niskar. By the case of Shvuyin, the person gets to keep all the crops from the field the entire time. Once he's Shamavai Shemes, the Karev comes into the field, gets all the crops, even the last crop, as long as the person hasn't come back, he gets to take it. If he gets caught before, not caught, if the person comes back before you harvest the last crop, then maybe you'd split it like an Oris. But that's only because he was Yerid Bereshus, because it was Shamavai Shemes. Vilu Hacha, by the case of Nitushin, was Loi Shamavai Shemes, then Alachiz Shamin and Leike Oris. Then the way Rashi explains what happened is, we let you, according to Rishon Gamliel, we let you into the field. We let the Karev work the field. But if it turns out the guy is alive, then retroactively, all those years that he worked in the field, he only gets Ka'aris. So if he was harvesting, you know, $100,000 worth of crops every year for 5 years, then it turns out the guy was alive, he gets out of Chevy wherever he is, and he comes back, the Oros only gets to keep the 25-30% for each year, and the rest he's going to actually have to pay back. Hey, Rashi's very clear. Rashi says it over here that it's all the shanim behind bechol shana v'shar perish u'menachim. So it's all the shana you get treated like Oros, not just on the last year. And that's the difference between shamu by shemes and not. If it's shamu by shemes, then you could get the crops totally. It's totally yours, unless the guy actually comes back. If it's not shamu by shemes, Tanakhama says you can't go in at all. Shangulis says you could go in, but be aware that if it turns out he's alive, you're not going to get all the crops. So you might want to put an escrow fund on the side or something like that, so you have the cash if he's alive. Insurance. But insurance, something like that, and take that again. Says the Gemara, Umay Shnami Hadusnan. How is this different than the halacha we have by the Gemara, by the halacha in Ksubas? It says, Hamoytzi Yatzos HaNichsi Yishtei. So a woman brings Nichsei Melug into the marriage, which means the husband gets feed to Paris, and the husband takes care of the field, and if they get divorced, she gets those fields to take back. So Hamoytzi Yatzos HaNichsi Yishtei, he invests money into the field. Hoytzi Haibri, he invests a lot of money. V'achal Kimma, but he only got a little bit of the fruits, and then they get divorced. Or Kimmy invests a little, v'achal habri, but he takes a lot. Either way, masha hoitzi hoitzi masha chachal. It is what it is. Whatever it is, whatever he ate before they got divorced, he ate. Whatever he didn't, he didn't. We don't say over there that he gets at least like an orus, even though he invested money into the field. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Just like over here, we say that the person who's nichnas l'toich l'sodeh, at the minimum, he gets like an orus. So why don't we say also by a husband that's nichnas to his wife's field, b'nichsei melug, at the minimum, he should get like an orus to get back his expenses, to get back the effort he put in. So I'll tell you why, because there's a fundamental difference between our case and that case. Holoi dami, if you're going to compare our case to a case of an isha, it's rather like this other halacha. Eloha desani, it should be. Hamoitzi ha'itzos ha'nichsei ishtei kitana. What if a man is married to a woman who's a ketana, who is married by her brother or her mother? In which case, she could do miyun at any point in time. It's the only marriage we have, even the Rabbana marriage at least, where the woman has the power to walk away at any point in time. So now, if she brings some sort of nechasim into the marriage, the husband's going to be investing in those fields, he's going to, what should I bother investing? At any point in time, she can get up and walk away. And all my investments in her fields will go away, and I'll be lost money. When the husband is married to a regular wife, like we had in the first case, then it's up to him. So he might say, okay, I'm not going to divorce her now. It's worth it to me to suffer with her a few more months so I can get the crops. Okay, so he'll put up with it, make sure he divorces her in off-season of the crops. No problem. We have nothing to worry about. But when it's up to her to walk away from Miyun, then he might be nervous. And therefore, the Gemara said, the Bryce says, K'moytzi anichse achser acher dami. That is, you get the halacha is, if someone goes into someone else's field without permission and just starts planting on their field, the halacha is, you get at least like an orus, right? You did help the person out, you made his field, well, he let you do it, but the halacha is, you get like an orus. Here also, we give you like an orus. And why? The Gemara explains. Alma, chimdolay sam chadaita, since the person is not going to be so sure that he's going to be able to stay in field and get his investments back, we want to make sure that the person will get at least an orus's amount of profit so that he won't overwork the field and ruin the field. We're interested in making sure the field doesn't get ruined. So when he's married to a ketana, we tell him, don't worry, whatever you invest, you'll at least get the orus-oriented profit. So therefore, he's not going to just go ahead and ruin the field and harvest things too early, and who knows what he's going to do. And therefore, that's the svara over here also by the person who's karav, that's yari, the nixay shavai, over here. Even if shloishama beishamei shezu sharingam liol, we give you at least an oris's amount so that you don't go ahead and not take care of the field and you make sure you take care of it properly. But by a bal benixay ishtai, we don't have to worry about that. By Baba Nixay Ishtai, he's going to take care of the field. So it's not that you get the oris stam, it's you get, we're giving you the oris even when you went in Shalei Bereshus, specifically to make sure that you take care of the field the proper way. And that only applies when he has a chashash that'll get kicked out without him being able to control the situation. So that's what it means when it's said in the Braisa, V'kulon shamalem ka'aris. Okay, says Mar, but if that's not really true now, because it's not every case is an oris, it's only one specific case of Lo Yishama Bo Yishamais, according to B'shin Gamliel. So what does it mean, V'kulon? V'kulon sounds like there's other cases as well. It says, V'kulon Shemakaras, V'kulon Asreimai. What other cases would this might be including? Okay, so that was the case we had. We said, again, according to Tanakama, According to everybody, if it's Shammah by Shemes, according to Shem Gamliel, even Loi Shammah by Shemes. Yatzel Adas, we said if the person ran away on his own, if he was a Ritushin, Ein Merinim Karam Nechasov, then we don't help him out. He left on his own, he didn't give us instructions, we assume he wants to leave the fields alone. Rav Nachman Dideyam, or Rav Nachman ever explained, Vireyach, if he runs away, and he doesn't have an opportunity to give us instructions, then Areyu Kishavui. Then we treat him like a shavi. That according to Bishen Gamliel, you would let the next of kin into his fields, because the fact that he did not give us instructions does not necessarily mean that he doesn't want us to take care of the fields. Now, Barach Machmas Mai, why was he running away? It wasn't just he was running away. Stam. So you leave it Barach Machmas Karga because he didn't pay his taxes. So Hainu Ladas. If he's still Barach taxes, you have a deadline. Okay, there's a deadline. You know you have to pay by a certain time. Was it April 15th? Whatever it is. So you have time to file taxes if you're going to run away. Then you have time to plan the situation, and you should have told everybody who should take care of your field and who should not. If you did not, that means you don't want someone to take care of your field. So why would it be the halacha? Elabarech machas mardin. We're talking about a case where he was chashed for ritzicha. He was chashed for being a murderer. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean he was a murderer, but the Persians had a death sentence for someone who's a murderer. So as soon as he found out that they were accusing him of a murder, he has to get out of town quickly. Okay, and once he runs away quickly, he didn't have a chance to give anybody instructions on what to do in his field. That's when we said, V'kulon Shavu Klaris, we let somebody else into the field to take care of it with the assumption that that person who goes into the field now will at least get the regular Oris sharecropper amount so that he will not ruin the field. But there's another case of V'kulon in that case as well. Amar Yehuda Meshmul, Shavu Yishet Nishba, V'niach Koma Liktzer. Let's say he got captured, and it's not a question of planting anything in the field right now. The field is already planted. It has to be harvested before it can be replanted. So what do you do then? So everything is ready to be harvested. So that stuff definitely belongs to him. So Bezdin, Yardin, and Chasim, in that case, Bezdin, before they bring a caravan, they come into the field. There is another way to get out of this whole mess. The other way to get out of this whole mess, which we've talked about many times by Ketanim, is called an apitropos. An apitropos is like a lawyer, a representative of Bezdin, who takes care of Ketanim. Now, as Gemara is going to say in a second, we generally speaking don't use apitropos for Gedolim, for older people, because an apitropos is a worthless job. You don't really get paid much at all. And the whole purpose of doing it is as a stucca to help little kids. So normally you don't use an apitropos. But over here, to just go ahead and harvest the crops, which is a relatively easy job to be in charge of, then we would take an apitropos, kaitzer, baitzer, v'gaider, maisek, and you sell the crops, I guess, or you put them away, so that when the owner eventually comes back, he has those crops or the money from the crops. That you'd leave. The apitropos job is now over. V'yachach marid and karb l'nechosov. And then we go ahead and apply the next halacha, again, according to Bishen Gamliel, Tanakama, whether it's Shemavai Shemes or not, what we do with the rest of the nechosov. So, okay, but now you brought up an interesting point. But look me apitropos to the island. So if now that you're bringing up apitropos, why don't we have an apitropos as a solution forever? Instead of bringing a karav or one of these other people, which you're nervous they're going to ruin the field, not going to ruin the field, just put an apitropos in place. Remember, the apitropos does not eat the crops. An apitropos, when he's working there, is working on behalf of the owner. His job is to work the crops. He'll get paid something, or Bezdin, he just get, it helps him on his resume because Bezdin trusts him, and he puts all the money away for the owner. Why don't you just do that? Says Ma Apitropos le diknini for an older person who has a beard, loimikumina. We don't do that because Rashi says you're not going to be able to find someone to do that. The whole idea of an apitropos is it's a stucco oriented activity. To do it for an older person, even if they're captured, it's not going to be easy to find. It's mashma from Rashi, some of the Rishonim say that if you can find an apitropos, that is actually a better solution to this whole problem. If you can find an apitropos who will take care of the fields on behalf of the owner, that's a much better solution. If you can't, which it sounds like it's very hard to do, that's where you come into this idea of bringing in a relative and letting him use the field. Amar Huna. However, there are qualifications. Ein meridin katan l'chsei shavu. If the next of kin is a katan, so the father gets captured and the next of kin is a katan, he's 11, 12 years old, you cannot bring him in. He's not going to take care of the field properly. And therefore, that's not a solution. We have another problem. Let's say there's two brothers. Okay, so the father gets captured. You have two brothers who are next of kin. So one is a gadol, one's a katan. So each one, ke'ilu, owns half. So what you want to do is you have the older brother, Reuven, says, no problem, I'll take care of all the fields on behalf of my brother who's a katan. You have a problem over here. Because what's going to happen is eventually he's going to work the fields for who knows how many years till the kid grows up. The kid's going to come and say, I want my field back. And Reuven's going to say, what do you mean? This was mine, Beirusha. It was mine the whole time. And the root proof that it's mine the whole time is I've been working it for the last 5, 6 years. And therefore, it's like a chazaka. And therefore, our father must have left you something else. So you are not allowed to bring this karev l'nichsei kotim. V'loi karev machmas karev l'nichsei kotim. The same thing applies even if it's a distant relative. What does it mean a distant relative? So Rashi explains, you could have Reuven and Shimon are brothers from their father, so they're sharing Yerusha, and Reuven has another brother from a half-brother from his mother. So Reuven says, no, I'm not going to go into Shimon's field. Of course, I know Bezdin doesn't want me to go into Shimon's field because I'm going to take it over. I'm going to have my half-brother over there, Gud, he'll come in and take care of it for me. Obviously, they're going to be playing games together. And then later on, when Gud's in the field for 5-6 years, he's going to claim he was working it for Reuven, and it's really Reuven's field. So that also, we shut down. We don't let any of those kind of relatives into the field as well. The Gemara explains. We're afraid he's not going to take good care of it. Who's this double relative? If it's a half-brother from the mother, who's going to be halfing and helping out the brother? The kid, the younger kid, when he's a katan, cannot make a macho, he can't protest, as you would normally do when someone's making a chazaka on your field. Also, we're afraid the older brother is going to try to make a chazaka, machmas Yerusha, on the field. Now, what do you do in that situation? So what you do in that situation, the way Rashi learns it is, you would actually bring a non-relative into the katan's field. So if a katan owns half this field, he's the next of kin as a katan, you don't bring a relative, his half-brother, his brothers in, because you're afraid they're going to take it over, you bring in a stranger. Now, why does that solve the problem? Now you have a stranger working in a katan's field for 3, 4, 5 years, and now he's going to claim it's his. He's going to claim the kid sold it to him, like a regular chazaka we have in Cheskas Abatim. What do you mean? It's your field. It's my field, and I've been working on it for 3 years. You sold it to me 3 years ago. Your father sold it to me. Whatever he's going to claim. Why are we worried about that? So Amarav Shmamino Mirafuna. We see from Rafuna Ein Machzika Menichzei Katan. The fact that you work in a field for a katan for 3, 4, 5 years doesn't make a chazaka for Hilchos Raya of a chazaka over there, because the katan can't make a macha anyways. And Vafilu Higdil, even if he worked 3 years when he was a katan, and then he worked in the field 3 years after the kid was bar mitzvah, you still can't make a chazaka. Anytime you come into the field when the kid was a katan, and the kid doesn't make a macha because he doesn't know to, even if he works in the field for the next 20 years, that does not count as a raya for a chazaka at all. Because once you came in when the kid was a katan, the assumption is that there's no chazaka whatsoever, and therefore, it's better in this case to bring a stranger into the field. However, says the Gemara, v'loy omrin, that you don't bring a relative in, ela ba'achi de'aba. If it's a relative that's in the Yerusha, so you have to be afraid that he's going to take the Yerusha. Ava ba'achi de'ima, if the chatchila, he was not a relative, it was one brother and he just wanted to bring his half-brother from a mother in, maybe less than that, maybe we would bring him in because he has no claim of Yerusha over here. V'achi de'aba nelamrin, ela ba'arosa. This whole issue that the brother might claim it's his field is only when it's land. Ava ba'bati, if it's a house that everybody knows, that it's called, Yankel the Cotton's house, so if it's called Yankel the Cotton's house, he's never going to make a chazak on it because everybody knows it's his house. Of a bati leslamo, uvarasa nami loyamen. Even by a field, you don't say it. El deloyavit itida. If they hadn't written a shtar chaluka, aval ovid itida. If they wrote a shtar chaluka, so everybody knows this piece of field belongs to Yankel the Katan, then kol esle. Everybody knows that. It's not an issue. So that what you could have said. Nothing more seems to be saying. Some of a loyi. No. This is too risky. V'loyi loyishna achid yaba, v'loyishna achid ima, loyishna arasa, v'loyishna bati, whether it's a house or a field, loyishna avid itta, whether you wrote a star, loyishna avid itta, loy machdinan. We don't bring relatives in, any distant relative, no matter what, into a nechasim of a katan. It's just too dangerous, and therefore we'd rather go ahead and, again, if we get an apitropos, get an apitropos. If you get a stranger, you get a stranger. All those things will do the best to protect the field of the katan. Oh, here we get to a famous case. Keep track of all the moving people here. He's Safta. There was a, it says Safta, doesn't mean she's a grandmother, it means she's an older person. She was a grandmother, you'll see in a second. The Havilei Tlosa Bansa, she had three daughters, okay? Rachel, Leah, Bila. Okay, she had three daughters, a Safta and three daughters, Rachel, Leah, and Bila. Ishtaboy, Ihi, V'chada Barta. She and one of the daughters, she and Rachel, the Safta and Rachel got captured. Okay. The other two daughters, Leah and Bila, were not captured. Idach Tati Banse, the other two daughters were not captured. Shchiva Chada, Bila died. Binayu, Veshavke Nukan, she left over a young child. Okay, so what do we have now? We have the Safta and Rachel are captured. We have Leah is walking around fine. And we have Bila is gone, she's Niftaris, and she left over a young child. Okay, and this field, there was fields that was owned by the Safta. What do you do in this situation? Okay, so now there's two possibilities first. First of all, is the Safta alive or is she dead? If she's alive, then we want someone to take care of her fields. Okay, but we can't have a katan taking care of a field. We already said, Eimer reading katan l'nechse shavu. Okay, that's problem number one. If, assuming the Safta is dead, Then the fields that she owned are split up three ways between her three daughters. Okay. And this Yanuka, the granddaughter, grandson, whatever it is, now owns part of that field. Well, now we can't give the fields to, let's say, Leah, who's the one who's free to watch, because Amarid and Karev, Lenichse Kotin. So what do you do with these fields? Everyone get that? Okay. So who owns these fields? It's either the Safta and you can't have the Kotin do it, or it might be partially owned by the Kotin, in which case you can't have the relatives do it. So what do you do? So says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Hechinavin, Lukminin Lenichse Biyada Da'achsa, if we give it all to Leah, the free sister, to watch for everybody, Dilma Shechiva Safta, maybe the Safta was actually Nifteris, Ve'imaridin Karav Lenichse Kotin, and part of this field is owned by this Yanuka, and we can't let Leah, the aunt, go into the field, because she might claim it as hers. Nakmin Nichse Biyada Da'anuka, so to give that piece of field to the Kotin, we can't, Dilma Lenichse Safta, maybe the Safta is really alive, Ve'imaridin Kotin Nichse Shavui, and we don't let a Kotin take care of the field, because the Kotin ruined the field. So what do you do? Some Rabbaya. Hilkach, we do is split it up. Palga Yavina Le'achsa, half we give to Leah. And now, it's not necessarily that Leah's watching it for the grandmother. Leah doesn't know if she's watching it for the grandmother, or part of it is hers, or part of it is the other sister. But half we give to her to watch and to work in the field. Idach palga, mukmini lapi tropoli yanuka. The other half, which we would normally give to the Kotin, but Emma Yudin Kotin Nixay Shavoy, no problem. We could solve that by putting an apichapas in place. And apichapas, the fur cut, then you could have. And that would solve the problem. Rav Amar, Rav says, wait a second. Migu de makmini apichapal apalga, makmini apichapal idach palga. Remember, we said, the way Rashi learned, apichapas is the best solution. The only problem is it's hard to find an apichapas. But once you're finding an apichapas for the half that belongs to the cut, then maybe, so then you tell that apichapas, take care of the rest of the field as well. Okay, so that, amachlek zabai rava, whether we can get an apichapas in this case or not. L'soyif shamu d'shchiva safta. Turns out, we found out the safta was nifta. So she's gone. So she's not here. So now this field is owned shlish, shlish, shlish. It's owned one third by the sister Rachel, who's still captured. We don't know if she's alive or dead. One third by Leah. One third by Bila's daughter, son, the Yanuka. So I'm going to buy it. So now what do we do? Tilsi avina l'achsa. So one third of the field we give to the Leah, who's alive. She gets her Yerusha. She gets. Tilsi avina l'anuka. The Yanuka now gets that shlish because it belongs to the Yanuka. It's only doing apichapas with anything. It's their field mamish. The problem is now, what do you do with the third that's owned by Rachel who's still captured? The third that's owned by Rachel still captured, she's a shavuot. Who's going to protect that field now? So again, v'idach tilsi avina danka la'achsa v'idach danka mafina apichapas Yanuka. So half of that third, a sixth, you give to Leah to watch for her sister, and the other half of it you give to the Yanuka with an apichapas. Right, because you can't have a katan benichse shavui, but you don't. It's a half of a half. Well, it's a half of a third of whatever. Yeah, sixth. Okay, and that's what you do in that case. Rava says, well, once you're doing that, migu do amukim apichapal edanka, amukim apichapal idach danka. Once you're putting apichapal as a place for one sixth, you do it for the other sixth as well. To do the entire piece that was owned by Rachel, maybe you're better off putting in the hands of an apichapal. So it's an interesting application of all of Huna's halachas, all apply to one single case. Similar halacha. Murray bar Isik. So there's a guy named Isik, and Isik had a son named Murray, who apparently we'll see seems to be somewhat of a gangster. And this Isik went with Murray, the way Rashi explains the story, to live in a faraway place. He took his young son Murray to a faraway place. And in that faraway place, he married again Isik, and he had a second child. Okay. And then Murray came back, apparently, to Bavel, to live in Bavel, and left the other half-brother somewhere else. So Murray Isik also lay Achabi Bechuzai. So now they found out that Isik died, and Murray had taken over all the fields that his father Isik had in Bava. Suddenly, this other brother shows up, says, "Hey, those fields. I have a document here from my father Isik that those fields belong to him, and therefore they're half mine. I want half the fields. So I'm gonna lay publicly. Give me half the fields. I'm your half brother. We both were brothers from Isik. You have to give me the fields. I'm gonna lay Danalach. Who are you? I don't recognize you." So also came to Rav Chista. They went to Rav Chista's Bezdin. Amalei Shaper Kamba, I understand that you don't recognize him. Shenemar v'yakir Yosef v'zachin v'him la'ikiru. Right? They didn't recognize Yosef. Malame, we learned. She yatsab lo'chassim v'zachin v'bachim v'zachin. He went out, he was young, he didn't have a beard. When the brothers saw him many years later, he had a beard. So it's very possible you don't recognize him. So therefore, you can't necessarily know whether this kid who came now is a, maybe he may not be a kid anymore, he's an adult, he has a beard, whether he's originally your brother. So Amalei Zil, I see Sadat Achua. So Rav Chista said to the brother who came from far away, prove you're a brother. You have to bring some documentation. Birth certificate, Edom, something. Edom, he had Edom. Amalei Isli Sadi. I have Edom. with the chalimine, but they're terrified of this Murray guy. This Murray guy was a gangster of some sort, and they're terrified of him. They don't want to testify against him. The gavra limu, he's a violent person, and therefore they refuse to testify. Samalei, so they say, l'didei zil anos asisadi lavachua. So the Bezdin turned back to Murray and said, okay, you prove that he's not your brother. Either get those same edim to say what they're going to say, or find edim that he's not your brother. So I'm like, Dina Hachi? What kind of halacha is that? You know for sure these fields belong to me. My father was 100% Isaac. Everybody knows that. I have to prove he's not my brother? I'm like, Hachi Dina Lach, that's the way we treat gangsters. Right? Anybody like you who is violent, that people are afraid to bring edim, we flip, obviously it's not Ikra Adin, we flip the burden of proof to the other side. You have to prove he's not your brother. Amalei, safe, asu sadigoy misadi. He said, what do you mean? What are you talking about? He said, if you're afraid that his edim are not going to testify for me, so I'm going to get edim, they're going to lie for me also. Like, what did you gain by flipping it to me? If they're not going to testify against me, then they're going to testify for me, and they're going to lie for me. So Amalei, tartu layavdi. No. We're not afraid that they're going to lie. We're going to afraid that they're not going to testify at all. That Adam will come and be afraid to testify because you're a gangster, fine. But that you'll be able to find Adam who will lie and say he's not the brother, that we're not afraid of. Tarti le'avdi, to not say testimony, but to actually say positive testimony as a lie, we're not afraid of that, so you have to prove. Okay. L'saif asisad yachul. L'maisa, the other brother, found Adam that he was his brother, and he gets half the Yerusha. That's not the end of the story. Amalei poligli nami p'disir b'sar d'shasal. Not only do I want half the fields, but you've been living in these fields for the last bunch of years, and you invested in the fields, and you built all kinds of orchards and stuff. I want half of that investment you put in also. That's what the brother said to Murray. Samalei, so if Chisla's shopper come along, yeah, you get half of that too. This naneiniach banim gedolim v'ketanim, if someone leaves older children, younger children, for Yerusha, and hishbiach gedolim is an echosim, and the gedolim who are taking care of the fields now invest in the fields, hishbichu lemtza, then the ketanim get half of that profit or half of the improvements made to the field, because it's really half of their field. So here also, this other brother should get at least half of the improvements that Murray made. I'm like, Abaya, what are you talking about? Be dummy. Hasam gedolim, gabe ketanim. When you have gedolim working in the field, and they know that there's other brothers who are supposed to split it with them, yadi v'kamachli. If they're investing in the field, they know that half of their investment is automatically going to their brother's part of the field. That's built in. It's an assumption. It's known. Hacham yadi delichol. When Murray was investing in this field, he didn't know that he had another brother. He didn't know the brother was even alive. He didn't know anything about this brother. Therefore, he didn't invest in the fields with the assumption that the brother was going to come take anything. So maybe you should not give it to him. So Galgo Milsa Matla Kameder Vami. So this halacha bounced around the Bati Midrash and the Bar Vami's Beis Medrash. Amaluhu, he said a fuch. He said, Gedolim Izu Amru. We said in our Gemara, Shama Lehem Ka'aris. We said in our Gemara, when you yarid the Nixay Shavu, you at least get a sharecropper's amount. You get 35%, whatever it is. So Ashti Dei Lo Yavinale. So even if you're going to take away the profits, the investment that he made, and say half, but you would definitely give to Murray the 35%. He would get at least 35% of the other brother's stuff, because he's no worse than Aris, who went into the field and worked it and made it better. So you should give him 35%. So Adurei Halak Abed Rav Chista, again, went back to Rav Chista Beis Medrash. Amalo, he said, no, midami, hasam v'rshus nachas, hachalav v'rshus. He said, by the case of Yardin the next day, Shavoy, Bezdin Paskins, you're allowed to go. The guy's not here. We don't know where he is. Bezdin says you can go into the field and to make sure you do a good job. We give you 35% as an Aris, no problem. Over here, Murray Bar Isaac really had no permission whatsoever to work on these fields. He knew there was a brother. He knew that half of these fields were not really owned by him. He had no permission whatsoever to work on them. No one ever told him he could. V'loid katanu. For at least part of this time, this kid, whoever this kid was a katan. And the halacha is, they married in carve the next day katan. We don't let relatives go. Don't say, well, he was doing it for him. Now, we don't let a relative go into a cotton field because exactly what happened here is what we're afraid of, that he's going to claim it was all his. So he had no permission to go into that field. If he had no permission, we kick him out and he doesn't get any of it. I didn't know he was a cotton. And if he was a cotton, he was Yerid Shalei Vereshus. And then, of course, all the investments you do, we're going to split. And this other brother ended up, it seems, beating Ravami and Mari Beresik in this case and getting his share of the fields. Agud.